Good evening, everybody. I'd like to take my text from James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17 reads, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." I'd like to take that text and preach on a message entitled, "The Presence of God." Sir, if you would please pray over the message.
Our Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for the privilege to be able to open your word and, Lord, to look into the deep things of God, Lord. And sometimes, Lord, we know that it's needful to have teachers and preachers and prophets and evangelists to help us to be able to mine out those deep things, to be able to have a clear and deeper understanding to help us grow. Ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon Nathan as he teaches tonight, Father. May he share things that, Lord, that would, again, cause us to grow and strengthen us in our faith. We give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The holidays are upon us. I know, we're getting ready for the holidays. It's coming on Thanksgiving, which is my favorite. And then after that, we'll be into Christmas season and the New Year. But at this time, it seems like, you know, even you can look at it in the papers now. You know, the Sunday funnies, or political commentary, I guess, they were all about how the Christmas season is so much commercialized, and that it's all about the profits that people will make off of selling people the items that they will gift to other people. But I was thinking of this in the last week or so. We are endowed or presented with many, many gifts from God. They are the presence of God. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You can look around the environment that God has provided for us to live in. All of the beauties, all of the majesties that God has provided, all of the blessings that has been bestowed upon us, and we should be very, very mindful of the God who made it all. I want to direct your attention to Job chapter 38. Job 38, you know, throughout the book of Job, we have the story of Job, and, you know, he's fallen, and, you know, all of these things have come upon him, and his friends come to him. And they're telling him, oh, well, you need to commit, confess your sins. You know, you've done something horribly wrong. And he defends himself over and over and over. And then finally, God responds. Because Job, in his anguish, he calls out to God, God, what have I done wrong? What is it? What's the problem, God? And finally, God answers. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. He said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? What do you know, boy? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and thou answer me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched it, the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with the doors when it brake forth, as it were, as it had issued out of the womb? When I had made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness the swaddling band for it, and brake up for it the decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no farther. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place? That it might take hold on the ends of the earth, and that the wicked might be shaken out of it. As it is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. For and from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the path to be the house thereof. Knowest thou it? Because thou wast then born? Or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? God just recounts all of the glories and all of the wonders of creation. And he challenges Job over and over and over. What do you know about these things, O great and mighty wise Job? What do you know about these things? And I confess, I know very little about these things. But I still stand in awe of all of the wonderful, miraculous things that we are surrounded by. I like to watch nature shows. I like when they define something and they describe it. The other day I saw a praying mantis in my yard. I was mowing the grass. All of a sudden this praying mantis jumped up front of the, I don't know if he came out from underneath the thing, of the mower. But he jumped ahead of me, flew about 4 feet and landed on a rock. And that critter was about 4 inches long. And he was really cool. Or she, I don't know if it was a male or female. I wouldn't know male from female praying mantis. But anyway, it was fascinating. I went in the house and I brought all my family out. Hey, come look at this. I took pictures of it with my cell phone and put it on Facebook. Why? Because it was really, really fascinating. What an incredible work that God had wrought. And then he let me see it. Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of the waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and the waste ground, and to cause the bud and the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou cast forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? What's he speaking of there? He's speaking of the constellations of heaven, all of the deep bounds of space. And it seems like the more that they learn about space, the more they learn about the earth, the more they learn about deep things of the earth, the more they know, they don't know a whole lot. They make all kinds of wonderful movies about the deep, dark space. My wife went and saw one, said it was horrible. But I saw a picture, and they had this picture of a star, right? And they get more and more and greater powerful telescopes, and they can look out farther. They put things in orbit that can see long ways. And they said this one star wasn't a star at all. It was about 1 million galaxies. Each little speck there in this cluster of light is a galaxy. And they can't even begin to number the stars of that one little star. I thought, wow, that's really cool. How incredibly far and distant those things must be that when we look upon it with our naked eye, we see one star. But in the depths of space, it contains millions of galaxies. And the galaxies contain millions of stars. It's an incredible wonder. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds that the abundance of the waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here are we? So God is saying, I command the lightning. I can call to it and say, stand here, and it will. I can say, go there, and it will. I'm reminded of Martin Luther. You know how Martin Luther became a priest? Lightning struck a tree near him, and he was so fearful that he gave his life to God. He said, I will be a priest! And he joined the Catholic Church. I mean, he was a member of the Catholic Church, but he joined the ministry, and he devoted himself against his father's wishes to the ministry. Why? Because he was terrified by a lightning bolt that struck a tree. And now we know who sent it. And who hath put the wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt for prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions? When they crouch in their dens and abide in the covert hole to lie in wait, who provided for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. And I could go on and on and on from the book of Job, but I will lay off with there. But all of these things that we consider too much, you could spend all of your life studying a particular aspect of one realm of nature and never begin to comprehend it all. God understands every little facet. He knows how it all works. We are told in the Gospels that he is concerned with every single sparrow of the air. He knows every single detail of nature. And it's there, and it's maintained, and it's held together by God's will. These are given to us presents of God. I love to have the internet. My home site is Bing, and my screensaver are all of these wonderful panoramic views of the United States, and whether it's fields or Rocky Mountains or the ocean shores or the canyons of Arizona, they are all wonderful, miraculous things. And you couldn't paint a picture more beautiful than the things that God has placed for us to enjoy. Talking about the gifts of God, we are given appetites. Appetites are a gift from God? I'm hungry. That appetite is a gift from God. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 through 13. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. That deep hunger, that gnawing sensation, that desire to eat is a gift from God. Amen. Well, how can that be? It's not comfortable to be hungry. Yes, but turkey and gravy and mashed potatoes, black olives, dinner rolls that melt in your mouth, fudge. Thinking of all the holiday foods that I really, really enjoy. Peanut butter cookies with chocolate on top. Ooh, that's good stuff. Appetite, hunger, these things are gifts of God. Ecclesiastes 6 and 7 says, and all the labor of man is for his mouth. And yet the appetite is not filled. Anybody ready for seconds? I am. Day after Thanksgiving. Turkey for a week. Woohoo! That's good stuff. Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. If you will put your eyes upon God, He will fulfill all of your needs. I mean, everything I want, I'll be fulfilled? No. You won't lack any good thing. God will provide all of your needs. Talking about the presence of God. The body is a present of God.
The body is a present of God?
Yes, it absolutely positively is. Psalm 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. We are all presented with a vessel to inhabit. And the vessel that we inhabit contains unlimited potential.
Unlimited potential?
Truly. Think of all the things that people have done in this flesh. I have seen people with a pole throw themselves into the sky. I've seen people run faster than I ever thought could possibly happen. Run farther. climb higher. They do all kinds of incredible things in this body, in this flesh. It has nearly unlimited potential. I remember watching a documentary about this guy. He dedicated himself to growing to match the limits of human strength. I saw this man bench pressing with a machine. You know, it wasn't on top of him. He was pushing it forward. 1,140 pounds or something like that. It was all of the weight that he could stack on these pegs, and then a grown man on either side, and he was pushing it forward. And he said, "You think you hit the limits of strength, and then you realize you can be a little bit stronger and a little bit stronger." I thought, wow, that is really, truly incredible. And if he can do it, other people can do it. Don't want to be that strong. He decided he didn't want to be that strong either. He decided, I've had enough of that. Let me find something else to do. Went into arm wrestling. The vessel that we are given can take us to the heights, to the farthest realms of fancy. If you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing. Some of us can sing better than others. I'm not a very good singer. That's a Zimbabwe proverb. It means that everybody has the potential. If you can move, you can move in an artistic, fanciful way. I can't do that. I'm sorry. I can't dance too much. But if you speak, if you can make sounds with your voice, you can sing. Have you ever been around somebody who cannot stop tapping on something? They are the most rhythmic people you've ever heard. They cannot be silent. No matter what they're doing, they're drumming their fingers, they're doing something, they're tapping their feet. They are always constantly making some kind of rhythm. My daughter, she's a vocalist, she likes singing. There's this group called Pentatonix. They are acapella. The guy who does beat and rhythm for them, you would never know that that's a human's voice. You would think, wow, that's really cool instrumentation. But he makes all of those sounds with his mouth. Wow, that is really cool. It is incredible that we can do that. If you can think of all of the beautiful, majestic things that you have seen, you can look around this room, see the banners, see the paintings, see the pictures, see the pottery, see the plates, see that clock on the wall. All of these things have been fashioned by men and the ability that God has given them to create beautiful things. The very fact that this building was created by men. They were able to do this and fashion this because they saw it. They comprehended it. They imagined it and they set about with their body and were able to bring it to pass. The incredible gift of our body. Look at all of the arts. Paintings, sculptures, snow carvings, sand castles. Incredible, truly incredible things that people do. For what point? Nothing. There's no point to it. It's just beautiful. It's something that they can do. Why not? Talking about the presence of God, the majesty of earth, the appetites we are given, the body with which to pursue anything that we wish to do. A spouse, it is a gift from God. And the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Genesis 2:18. Nathan, you need help. I know I need help. That's why God gave me Bridget. A present of God. If you think, go back to the beginning, Adam and Eve. People say, well, we were made for each other. Guess what? Adam and Eve were made for each other. Adam was made, and then Eve was made to perfectly appreciate him, and she was made for him to perfectly appreciate her. They were literally made for each other. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. A spouse, a partner, the gift of marriage. It's not just about the physical, but the emotional, the spiritual support. A spouse is a gift from God. I cannot begin to express all of the joys of marriage. If you haven't experienced it, I feel deeply saddened for you. But my wife is there for me all the time. In the past week or so, she said, Nathan, come here. What? I'm busy. I'm hurrying. I gotta go. I gotta get to work. He said, sit right here. So I sat there on the edge of the bed and she laid hands on me and prayed for me. Wow! It's kind of an inconvenience. And exactly what I needed. Talking about the presence of God. Mark 10:8 says, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. God made them male and female. They are complementary of each other. Together, they make one unit. Children are a present from God, a gift of God. I'm going to read all of the Psalm, 127 Psalms, so just stick with it. There's five verses in it. Except the Lord build a house, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, to be worried, to be in fear, to be borrowing tomorrow's troubles. For he so giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are they in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Pastor was speaking this morning about widows. Having lots of children meant that you would have somebody to care for you in your elderly state. But the joys that come with children, watching them grow, watching them learn, watching them achieve, watching them fulfill the potentials that God has given them, is one of life's great joys. You ever heard somebody referred to as their father or their mother's pride and joy? They are our future, our legacy, our hopes and our dreams. When you are young, you dream of whatever it is that you dream of. And when you are a parent, you dream of your children fulfilling their dreams and their children and their children's children. But you look to the future. They are, like I said, your legacy, and they are your pride and joy. And as people say, when they're young, they walk on your toes. When they're older, walk on your heart. I know I made reference to it recently, but the Duggar family is such a blessing. And you see the Duggar children growing up, and there are still many that are young. But as you see them mature into adults for themselves, and you see them going into the world for themselves, and you see them taking spouses and starting families of their own, you see that legacy of love and joy and contentment and holiness. And what a blessing they are. Are your children your joy alone? No. I remember when they were talking heatedly about abortion. And this was when I was young, so it was quite some time ago. They said, what if the next great doctor, the one who would heal cancer, is aborted today? What if the one that would discover the cures for other diseases is aborted today? All of that human potential is being wasted and destroyed. Children are a blessing of the Lord. We've been talking about the presence of God. the gifts of God. I'm going to go back to my text and bring it all together. James 1:17 and verse 18. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The greatest gift of all came from above, from the Father of lights, the only begotten Son of the Father. God gave us all of these things to enjoy. And yet, with all of that enjoyment, God gave us the greatest gift of all. It was perfect, entire. And He gave it to us. Matthew 11:27-30. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Father, the Son, but the Father. Neither hath any man the Father save the Son. And to he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The greatest gift of all isn't the gifts that we give each other. And it isn't all of the wonderful multitudes of things that God has given us to enjoy. Every good and perfect gift came down from the Father of lights. But the perfect gift came from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I'm closing with this verse. Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Talking about the presence of God, and chiefly the presence of God. Pastor.